line up in front of the pulpit. In front of the pulpit. And, all right, Claire, you go first. No. We're going to stand right here. There you go. Just get in line as you are on the paper. What school do you go to? No, guys, just like gym class, line up, everybody goes every which. Yeah, face your mom and dad and your grandparents and all these lovely people. All right, Claire, you go first. Who's second? No, second's here. Who's third? Victor? Peyton? Not going to do it. Can you read Peyton's too? Okay, you read Peyton. You get in line. You got to hold the microphone. No. Okay. All right. Stand a nice straight line up here. Right across. Just like marching band. Now, I'm going to read the first 6 or 7 verses, right? And then we'll start with Claire. And then just when your turn comes, I've lost my Bible. Oh, there it is. All right. Good looking group, huh? I didn't hear many yeses, but okay, fine. There you go, and amen. All right, now when I get finished, then Claire start and go down the line. This is a scripture reading for today. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out on the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and the earth peace among those whom he has pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them.
But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was.
Several scriptures today, so you might want to follow along, but Luke 2 will be there for towards the end, but you can just do whatever you feel like you'd like to do. And don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock here, bring something, some finger foods to share. Bring your own drink. There's a soda machine in the lobby there if you want to do that. Some of our stuff is over at the other building, so rather than messing with drinks, we just thought we'd do that. Don't forget a gift to exchange. Up to $5 can be 50 cents. Doesn't matter. Mark it man, woman, or either. Or children, mark yours. We'll have a fun game there. We've got some neat things planned tonight. So come tonight, 5 o'clock, snow, rain, sleet, doesn't matter. Come on anyway. Well, message 6 today in our series this Christmas on joy. And all of them, hopefully you've seen, are connected. Joy is trusting God with my life. Let's pray, and then we will dive in. Father, thank you for the birth of your Son. As we'll see today, is not just joy, but great joy. Touch our hearts today. Do what I cannot do, but only the power of the Spirit can do. As you came to so many people that we'll see today so long ago and just entered into their life and changed their life, I pray that you might do that today with us. Teach us today something we didn't expect. Challenge us with something we didn't expect. Convict us where we were failing and didn't know we were failing. And maybe today, Lord, there's something we are truly afraid of. Maybe you'd bring that to light and help us to realize we're not trusting you and that we truly can trust you. So speak now in Christ's name. Amen. What in this life do you fear? I'll give you a chance to think about it. What in this life do you worry about and are you afraid of? What in the life after death are you possibly afraid of? Are you afraid to die? What are you afraid of in this life? What do you have to face tomorrow or this week or the next week or next month that you're afraid of? It's interesting in Luke chapter 10, the angel came to the shepherds and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people." Not people, all the people. And it's interesting also to note, when you study the characters of Christmas, the main characters, where you see this theme of fear coming up over and over and over again, and the theme of joy coming up over and over again. Here's the official definition of fear. Fear is the distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, whether real or imagined. Doesn't even have to be real, does it? Can be imagined, and still the same effects physically and mentally will happen to our lives. And worry always goes along with fear. If you're afraid, you're worrying. And chances are, if you're worrying, you're afraid. They go hand in hand, and both of those will rob you of joy. The joy of Christ, the joy of His salvation, the joy of everyday living, where we are constantly bombarded with emotions aroused by impending danger. How am I going to face this? I can't believe this came into my life. Here's a mountain. Here's a river to cross. Whatever it seems to be, with your family, with your physical being, with whatever it is, we constantly face the temptation to be afraid. And it's a real part of our life. Didn't David in the Psalms say, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you"? So he knew that he would be afraid. He knew that life brings things that causes us to be afraid. But possibly the greatest fear that maybe people don't acknowledge is, what happens when my last breath is taken? Rarely do I go and pick up somebody that has deceased, they've died, where I don't kind of look at them. And I have to do a lot of things to them before I leave the funeral home, and which I won't go into. But I just look at, and there's no life in that body now, and I always think, where are you now? I have the shell laying before me, but the real person's not in there, and I often wonder, where are they now? Is this person's spirit with Jesus, or is this person's spirit in judgment in hell eternally, waiting for the body to join? Jesus said this, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul." Don't be afraid of people. Be afraid of me. We don't hear that much in our day anymore, do we? God's this cosmic God who, I've said it a million times, which I stole from somebody, who's up there in his cosmic lazy boy and just kind of, you know, if you're halfway decent, he does good things for you. If you're like a Hitler, he'll kill you. But other than that, he loves everybody. Everybody gets to go to heaven. But is that what God said? "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So fear is a subject that goes right along with Christmas. It goes right along with everyday life. So I ask you again, what in this life are you afraid of and are you worried about? Have you got one in your mind yet? What are you afraid of? What challenges are awaiting you? Are you afraid of eternity? Are you afraid when your last breath leaves your body where you will be? So there are two words related to Christmas, fear and death. Wouldn't that make a great Christmas carol? We're going to die. I'm afraid to die. Oh, that'd be horrible. Yeah. But they are so wonderfully fitting in the story of Christmas if we understand where they fit. Fear and death. Encouraging words. Great words of great joy, because we do not have to be afraid and we do not have to worry about dying. We don't have to be afraid in our life today. We don't have to be afraid of dying. So we're going to go through very briefly some prominent Christmas characters, and I want to show you how this theme of fear keeps coming up over and over and over, and how these people needed to trust God with their life. The first one is Zechariah. Remember Zechariah? Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. Remember him? Zechariah was, go ahead and click that. Zechariah was a high priest. And Zechariah was in the temple. It was his turn to be in the temple. And he saw an angel in the temple. And it was the announcement that his wife was going to become pregnant with John the Baptizer, the forerunner of Jesus. Not really the beginning of the Christmas story. The Christmas story started in Genesis chapter 3. But as far as the New Testament there, this is the start. Your wife Elizabeth is going to be with child, and she is going to bear John, who is the forerunner that was promised in the Old Testament, that is going to tell people, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Messiah is on his way. So he saw this angel in the temple. And what did Zechariah do? I'm going to tell you, Luke chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, the angel, and fear fell upon him. There's our theme of fear again. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. They didn't have anybody John in their family. And if you know the rest of the story, the angel caused Zechariah what? Wasn't able to speak. And when John was born, they were saying, what are you going to name him? Elizabeth said, John. They said, you can't name him John. And what did John say? Remember he took the pen or whatever and he wrote it down? He shall be called John. So he got it. He learned, even though he struggled a little bit. And we find in Luke 1, we won't read all those verses, where it talks about joy, joy, joy. So there is Zechariah, great fear. What about Mary? Remember Mary? Remember her, right? An angel came to Mary and said, you are going to be with child. How can this be? I've never known a man. Now, wouldn't that be a shock? God just steps into your life and does this brand new, amazing thing with great challenges. But listen to Luke 1:29. But she was greatly troubled, just like Zechariah, at this saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel's counsel to her was the same to Zechariah. Do not be afraid. This is big news. This is a life-changing event. This is going to bring you to situations in your life that are going to challenge you, and you're going to be accused of all kinds of things. Don't be afraid, because you have found favor with God. Interesting. How about the third character? How about Joseph in Matthew chapter 1? Joseph somehow, we do not know how, Joseph somehow found out that his wife-to-be was with child. Now that'd be a shocker, right? Mary was a godly woman. Joseph was a godly man. And Sema, we're not told how he found out that she was pregnant. Listen to these verses. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. It seemed, as you study through the Old Testament, New Testament, you used to be able to stone women who did this. But it seemed that this divorce sort of took the place of that. And he didn't want to do it publicly. He could have displayed her publicly. No, I want to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. So three main characters so far are living in fear or experiencing this fear of a challenge, this fear of a mountain in front of them, this fear of the unknown that lays out before them. And the angel gave the same biblical counsel to all three. Do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Wow. Well, let's jump to Luke chapter 2. The shepherds. These shepherds are out on the hillside, keeping their flock by night. We know that popular verse in the songs. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. Now, that'd be pretty scary. Listen to this account, Luke chapter 2. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with, guess what? And not just fear, but great fear. And the angel said to them, what counsel do you think he gave? Be not afraid. Fear not. Every single prominent character so far is facing a challenge and something to be afraid of. And God says, I am in control of your life. You do not have to be afraid. You do not have to worry. You do not have to be troubled. I didn't say it wasn't going to be easy. I didn't say it wasn't going to be hard. I didn't say that the mountain's going away. I didn't say that I'm going to make your life a bed of roses and every day is opening Christmas presents under the tree. I didn't say that. But what I did say is, you do not have to be afraid. I'm in charge. I am sovereign, I am holy, and I am good. Last week's message on joy. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, because God is sovereign, holy, and good. So every single character now is facing real life situations. Let's look at one more. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. King Herod and all of Jerusalem. Matthew 2, 3. When Herod the king heard this about a new king coming, he was troubled also, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Now, this may be a little bit confusing to you if you don't know the actual account of this. And I know we sing, we three kings of Orient. Chances are there was a whole bunch more than three. And these wise men were stargazers. They were also called magi. And they did come from the east. But these magi were also known as king makers. For a king to be king in the east, you had to master the arts of the magi. And the magi would teach them. And these were kingmakers. So it's very, very great possibility that when these wise men finally came to town to search out the king as they followed the star, that there were several of them, and they probably brought an army with them with several horses and camels and whatever and a whole entourage. So you can imagine, here's big bad King Herod, who is the king, and he gets word that here comes this huge entourage of these wise men, these kingmakers. Naturally, he would be what? Afraid. I know that the three in the pictures are much more cute, aren't they? But this is more than likely what happened here. So here we have another prominent character who is troubled, afraid, but all of Jerusalem is troubled with him. They wouldn't be afraid if three guys in the camel showed up. But when these kingmakers showed up, even the people came. But here is something interesting. What's missing in this account that was in all of the other ones? There's no angel. In all, now you got to grab this. In all of these accounts, Zechariah, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, these people had a relationship with God. And an angel came and counseled them. But there is no angel to Herod. There's no relief to Herod. There's no encouraging word to this person because he does not have a relationship with God. There is no angel at all. He has to live in his fear because he does not have God. So these main characters involved are involved in a life-changing experience. Nothing is going to be the same from this point forward. Have you ever been that in your life? You ever have something come into your life? All of us have, haven't we? Where you know from this point forward, it's not going to be the way it used to be. It's going to be different, and there's a good chance that nothing is going to change this. This is hard. This is difficult. These Christmas characters that we have in our nativity scenes and things were real people, human beings, sinners like you and I, that struggled with fear. But they did not have to be afraid. And especially be afraid of everlasting life. Which brings me to the second point. There is a promise for life after death. There's a promise for life on earth. We do not have to be afraid. But possibly the greatest fear is, what happens to you when you die? Have you ever really thought about that? Are you thinking about that? Are you truly confident that you're saved, that you are a child of God? Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Listen to this. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, that means humans. When humans share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise partook of the very same thing. He came down as a man without sin, flesh and blood. Why? That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear, there's our theme again, fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. So Jesus came in order to take away the fear of dying, the fear of death, the fear of being enslaved in our sin and to be punished for our sin forever and ever and ever. Someone said the devil's power to kill is destroyed only when our sin has been punished, and our sin has been punished in the death of Jesus Christ. So there is a promise not only for being afraid here on earth, there is a promise for being afraid of what happens when you and I die. And I want to just briefly look at Luke 2, 9 through 11 and highlight some of these words that the children read for us. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. This angel and then a multitude appeared to them, the shepherds. Why to the shepherds? Why not to the king? Why not to the magistrates and the captains and the princes and the wealthy? He didn't send the Christmas card to them, did he? He sent it to these lowly angels because Jesus himself was a shepherd. Or to the lowly shepherds. He sent them to the shepherds because he was a shepherd. And he was going to give his life for the sheep. Read on. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. And there was glory that came all around them. In verse 14, glory to God in the highest. In other words, what's going on here is a wonderful thing. It's a blessed thing. It's a holy and pure thing. But they were filled with great fear. Why? Because you and I can't stand in God's presence on our own. That's why everybody's afraid when God shows up. In our day, people say, yeah, I met Jesus at the house yesterday and we had a beer and a brat. People say stupid stuff like that. In the Bible, when God showed up, what did people do? They were afraid. They always were afraid. Depart from me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Peter said, get away, I'm too wicked. That's why there was great fear, because God showed up, whether in the form of angel sharing his message or angels in the sky in God's word. We are filled with fear because we are naturally weak, especially in the presence of Almighty Holy God. We need a go-between that gets us back to God. And he tells us here that it was good news, verse 10. The gospel, evangelizing here, the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, the coming of the Messiah to save his people from sin. This is good news. But notice it's not just good news of joy in verse 10. It's good news of great joy. Great joy. Have you ever had great joy? There's joy. And then there's great joy. Maybe joy is going to the salad bar and getting the salad, but great joy is when there's blue cheese dressing there. Maybe joy is going to the store to buy that thing, but great joy is when it's on sale. You know, they just hike the price up and then they put it on sale, right? It doesn't work. Not just joy, but this amazing, the Greek word is megas, mega joy. This is great joy that's coming. Don't be afraid. There's no need to be afraid. This is good news. The coming of the Messiah, Jesus, is coming. Prophesied to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, the shepherds. King Herod knew it, but he had no promise of hope because he didn't have a relationship with God. But why is it great joy? Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three titles there. This one born as a baby, human flesh, is our deliverer, our rescuer. That simply means you and I are not good enough to make it to God on our own. We need rescued. We need delivered. We are rotten. We are filthy. We are dirty, we are impure, we are sinful to the core. We needed somebody to come in and to rescue us. And this angel said, who didn't fully understand this, by the way, angels could not fully grab what was going on here, but they declared God's word. This is great joy because there has been a rescuer come. You ever see the videos when there's a moose or a deer or a dog in a hole or on ice or something, you know, and the community spends millions or thousands of dollars with the fire engines to go save a little puppy or something like that. We kill babies, but we save puppies. I'll never quite figure that out. And finally they pull the Labrador Retriever off the ice and he's barking and biting and their buddy's so happy and thrilled, right? He's rescued. Remember baby Jessica in the hole several years ago? Are you down there? You know, the whole world is watching on TV and all these rescuers and they hauled her up or whatever they did and the whole world is thrilled. Well, that's great. There's a rescue. The angel said, this is great joy because you are doomed without this Savior. He is a rescuer. He is your deliverer. He is not only that, but also he is Christ. He is the anointed one. The chosen one of the Father. This is him. All of those imposters, no. In the past and in the future, no. Not only is he the anointed one, the chosen one, he is also what? He is Lord. He is King. He is sovereign. He is the Creator. So that tells us that only this baby lying in this manger is the Savior and no one else, is the Christ and no one else, and is the Lord and no one else. So what was the only response? Verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. It doesn't come to everybody. That's why he came to the people, Israel, and then to the Gentiles. People without Christ do not get this great joy. People without Christ do not get God's joy and God's peace. So let's land the plane here, or let's bring the camel into the stable since it's Christmas. Joy is trusting God with my life. Joy is trusting God with my life here, and joy is trusting God with my life after I die. Because if we can't trust God with our life after we die, then why trust him here? We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, right? Tomorrow we die. You might as well go out and live it up and just do whatever the flesh wants. But true joy and smiling and laughter and that deep joy we talked about a couple of weeks, which maybe has tears and is silent, those come from saying, I am trusting my life to you. Because my life is hard. And my life has challenges. And my life has things, mountains and oceans and rivers. And my life has unexpected turns. And my life has physical pain. And my life has children that don't always please me. And my life has a spouse who doesn't always please me. Or a husband or male spouse. And my life has had death come into it that I don't understand. We could go on and on and on, but joy comes from simply saying, God, I trust you. Joy. I don't know how people live another day without not having Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord of your life. All of these characters that we've looked at today, was it the life-changing experience? You're going to have a kid. By the way, you're not going to talk for 9 months. You're not going to name him what you wanted to name him. You're going to name him John. I mean, an angel standing before you? You have been blessed. Your prayers have been answered. You're giving birth to the forerunner of the Messiah, which means the Messiah is coming. And wasn't it awesome when John was in Elizabeth's womb? Remember what he did when Mary showed up to visit her? Leap. Isn't that something? The first one to give praise, I guess you could say, would be a fetus in the womb. And they tell us that that's just an it. Not an it. It's a real person. Jesus was a real person in the womb. But nothing was going to be the same from this point forward. As God stepped into their life and said, I'm changing it today. Have you been there? Are you there now? Some of your lives right now might just be as wonderful. You can't imagine it any better. I'm telling you, the day is going to come where God's going to step in and you're going to have to trust Him more than you've ever trusted Him. Because that's what God does, right? And praise God that we do have those times of peace and rest and we still have joy in the mountains. But in these people's life, Mary, you're a teenager, you're pregnant. And by the way, the King's inside you, the Creator's inside you. The Lord's inside you, but I haven't known a man. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to talk about me. My husband's going to divorce me. Do not be afraid. I got this. Wow. God stepped into their life, and from this point forward, nothing's going to be the same. You know, I'm the kind of person, I kind of like things to be the same. How about you sometimes? You know? Have you gotten to be a creature of habit lately? I hear words talking. I don't know why, but I listen. Click back and click back on that slide again. The music will start again. What was I talking about? What? You guys are listening. That's good. Yeah. You know, 10 o'clock, I'm ready for bed. You know, 10:01, something's wrong. Right? Are you like that? We're creatures of habit. And we like things to stay the same. But God, I think, steps in sometimes and says, it's time for my plan to take effect. And I'm going to use you. Do not be afraid. Shepherds, Mary, Joseph. But no such promise to Herod. I see people all the time that don't have Jesus at funerals. It's sad. It is sad. They have no hope. They have no hope. They don't know how to handle it. Someone go out and they take drugs in the parking lot and come back in. You can tell. It's not hard to tell. They go out and drink. You can smell it. They can't handle it. They have no peace. They have no joy. They don't know how to handle death. We can trust our God in life and in death. So, believer today, you're born from above. Christ has entered your heart. Has this life crowded out the great joy of realizing afresh and anew you're God's child? And you get to live with Him forever and ever. And you will never be punished for your sin, never. The angel said, this is mega joy. Has life crowded that out? Have you noticed how life can crowd that out? I have. And sometimes I'll say, Tim, what is going on with you? You're never going to go to hell. Man, I ought to be eating meatloaf with a smile. Right? Right. I had to go and get 3 shots this week. Actually, 2. I got blood work here, a flu shot here, and a hepatitis shot here. Working with funerals and stuff. And praise the Lord, I get to get shot, you know. I do not like needles. Do you like needles?
No.
You like needles? I like using them. Crazy. I didn't look. But, you know, whatever happens to our life, wow, I've got the greatest thing ever, and no one can take it away. No one can take it away. Joy. Do not be afraid. How has God stepped into your life and changed it from this point forward? And I'll be the first to admit, Lord, I don't understand a lot of stuff that comes into my life or our church's life from this point forward. I don't understand it. And God's not obligated to tell me, but what does He say? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. So let me ask you again, Christian, what are you afraid of today? What has God placed in your life that has taken your joy? Where you need to go back and listen to the same counsel that Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and Zechariah had. Be not afraid. I got this. I'm in control. I'm in charge. Maybe you're here today and you're not a born-again believer. You never realized your horrible sin against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you on your own do not impress God. You may impress your boss or your mate or your friends or your teammates or whatever, your classmates, but you do not impress God the Father, and He will cast your body and soul in hell and eventually lake of fire. He will do it. So why do that? Why do that when you can come to the cross today and not have a fear of death? Jesus came to take away the fear of death we saw in Hebrews. Because remember, there was no be not afraid to Herod. Do you need to come to the cross today? Your only hope to have no fear in death is the Savior of Bethlehem, the Savior of the cross, the Savior of the resurrection, the Savior who is returning to rule and to reign. One last slide here. I got this song that I was reminded of. I think it's really neat. Bethlehem's incarnation, Calvary's bitter cross, wrought for us salvation by your pain and loss. Now we fall before you in this holy place. Prostrate, we adore you for your gift of grace. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the joy we can have in this life and the life to come. Lord, if there are any here today that's facing a mountain, facing a huge, huge river that they have to cross, and fear has overshadowed the joy and worry has overshadowed the joy, I pray today that they would heed the counsel that you gave to all these characters of Christmas. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. I've got this. I've got this. Help us to trust you. Lord, if there's one or two or more here that have not placed their faith in their eternal life in the hands of Jesus, help them to realize that they are a sinner, worthy of eternal damnation, that only in Christ can their sins be forgiven. Help them place their trust in you so that they can not only be afraid of life, not afraid here, but not afraid of the future. So as we sing our closing song, work in our hearts today, accomplish your purpose in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll close our service in song. And as God has spoken to your heart today, I trust that you will deal with it. You'll pray to him, that you'll confess sin. You'll ask him to not be afraid. And you will make a commitment to trust in him. If you need him as Lord and Savior, repent of your sin today and ask him to save your soul.